Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. I'm glad you're here today. I hope you're glad to be here to not just hear God's word, but to receive the word today. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we left off. We're going to continue there today. And we're going to start in verse 22 of chapter 1. Peter writes, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." So, Peter, previous to this, begins speaking of how to live before the Lord, to live our lives before the Lord. And now, he is continuing that. And he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Purifying your souls. What do you think he means by that? Purifying your souls. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind that the thoughts travel through. Your will that you make decisions with, and your emotions that are very real and that can travel all over the place. Your emotions are where your passions are stirred from. So he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, you purify your soul, you cleanse your mind, your will, and emotions, your soul, by being obedient to God's truth. Amen. And allowing God's truth to do the cleansing. By obeying the truth. You know, you don't obey the truth just because someone tells you to do this or to do that. You obey the truth in faith. Obedience to the truth comes through faith. Faith, believing that the truth is the truth, and obedience to it with faith, believing that when you obey the truth, your faith will grow. Acts chapter 15, in verse 9. I'm just going to jump at verse 8. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. He's speaking of the Gentiles. And then he says, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? By faith. By faith. Purification comes through faith. As you have faith in the truth of God's word, and the purification begins and continues through your faith in the truth. He purifying their hearts by faith. And the more purification comes, which is sanctification, the more your faith grows. The more cleansing, the stronger your faith. It's by faith and the Holy Spirit's conviction that you believe the truth and obey the truth. John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Peter said, since you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, he says, therefore, what, since you've purified your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotions, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Love one another. You know, this is a message for the church. John 17, Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they'll be one as you and I are one. You know, that's the battle for the church, is to love one another. To love one another. You say, oh, well, of course we love one another. Really? Well, let's think about that. He says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. With a pure heart. With a pure heart. And again, what Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment. Not a new suggestion. A new commandment I give you. A commandment. Does everyone know what a commandment means? It's an order. It's not a suggestion. It's an order. And he says, a new order, a commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Think about that. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. How has Jesus loved you? How does Jesus love you? He loves you unconditionally. Do you love each other? Do we love each other unconditionally? No, we love each other for the most part. Oftentimes we love each other conditionally. If you treat me the way I want you to treat me, I'll love you. If you'll act the way I want you to act, I'll love you. If you do what I want you to do, I'll love you. You see, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Well, that's unconditionally. You say, well, Pastor, that's impossible. Well, you might think it's impossible, but Jesus said, I command this. I'm commanding you to do this, that you love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus would not command something that's impossible. Now, you might not like it. You might have to love someone unconditionally might mean eating some dirt once in a while. Hello? It might mean overlooking some flaws and faults. Now, he doesn't expect us, and don't get the idea that he expects us to just lay down like a rug and let people wipe our feet on us. That's not what he's talking about. You know, we have this slogan with the church since we started, real people doing real life with a real God. And so that's what real life is about. Sometimes real life is not fun and it's not pleasant. But if we're obeying the truth by faith, then we can love one another as He has loved us. Because we're being obedient to His command, which is the truth. Hello? You see, it's easy to come through here and cherry pick the Bible and pick the verses out that make us feel good or that we're falling in line with okay and it suits our lifestyle. But when it goes against what we want to do or how we feel, how we feel. You know, that's why he says cleansing your souls, purifying your souls, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Guess what? Those are all about feelings. And that's why he says purify your souls. Purify your mind, your thoughts, your motives. Purify your will. Desire his will over my will. And purify your emotions. Oh, well, they said that to me. That ticked me off. I am going to get even. Now get a grip on your emotions and think, why did they say that? They having a bad day? What's behind that? They're not my enemy, but there's an enemy behind that that's trying to bait me and my emotions into responding in a way that's not obedient to the truth. And you see, that's what... And that's why I ask you, whatever you bring today. Because if you came here making it all about you, you know, you're going to struggle in life when it's all about you. And you know what? We have a tendency. That's why he says, purify your souls. Purify your mind, your will, and your emotions. So it's not all about me. Because when you make it all about you, guess what? You don't give a rip about loving one another as he has loved you. You just want everyone to love you as you love you, or as I love me. Hello? So he says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed. The word corruptible means perishable, but imperishable seed through the word of God. Been born again through the word of God. We're born again through the word of God. And the word of God is good seed. It's the seed. It's the seed. John 1:12. Could we put that up? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but or the will of man, but of God. Born again by the will of God. You see, there's a whole lot in that verse, in those two verses there. As many as received him. You know, I'll share that verse in a minute. But as many as received him, those who received him by faith, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You are born again through faith by the grace of God. It's by grace through faith that you are saved, not of your own doings. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. When you're born again in the Spirit. You're born again spiritually. And that's what he means by being born of God. We've got a little infant baby over there in a stroller. Born of the flesh, born of blood, born by the will of the mom and dad. But you see, John's saying, no, those who receive him are born by the will of God. And when you're born again, spiritually, you're born through the will of God, which means by the Spirit of God. In 1 Thessalonians, and this is the one I was wanting to get to ahead of myself, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. I'll just stop there for a minute. How often do we come or do we pray or we come to church or we come to God and we're asking for something? God, I need this. God, I want this. God, I hope this. God, I need you to do this. Think about it. Probably every one of us have been or are guilty. He says, for this reason, we thank God without ceasing. You know, when we pray, our first thing we should do is to thank God. Thank God for what, Pastor? Thank him for your salvation if you're saved. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his provision. Thank him for his blessings. I mean, you could spend the whole prayer time thanking him. If you really allow the Spirit to lead you and I get self out of the way and say, God, I'm just thankful. Amen. Thank God without ceasing. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you. Now, we're going to park here for a minute. So, can we go back to the first part of that verse? Okay, we got it up there. For this reason, we thank him without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. When you receive the word of God. You see, the important thing here in this is you got to receive the word of God. I can stand up here and give you the word all day long, and you can hear it, and you can listen to it, but if you don't receive it, and you can even believe it, but if you don't receive it, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any effect on your life. He says, for this reason, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, and you welcomed it, you consumed it, you desired it, not as just words from men, men's words, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And so, even when you read your Bible, you can read your Bible and you can sit for 30 minutes or an hour and read your Bible and still not receive the word. You just, boy, I read something good today. And that's really good. That's when you receive it. What do I mean by receive it? You take the word in and let it come in and do something. It works in you. It works in you. Go to the rest of that verse. Which also effectively works in you who believe. You see, when you receive the word, it will effectively work in you. That's why I say, you know, we can come into the church. What are we coming here for? When we hear a message, we hear the word, and we hear the truth, and then we go out and go on about our way, and nothing happens. You see, what you got to do is you got to receive the word so that you got to take it in and say, God, use it in me. I believe it. It's truth. It's the truth. And I'm going to, like the psalmist wrote, I'll hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you receive the word works in you effectively. You want to know how you want to know how you rather or not you've received the word? If it's doing anything. If it's doing anything in your life. Because the Holy Spirit will take the word and just turn and turn and turn, and it'll change something. It will purify your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. It'll begin to cleanse your mind of thoughts. It'll begin to change the strength of your will and make your will weaker than his will and his will stronger than your will. It will effectively work in you. Effectively work in you. James 1, 18. I'm just going to jump to 17. It won't be up there, but I want to roll into it with 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by what? By the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He brought us forth by the word of truth. You see, what's happening here, and Peter is writing, and John is speaking of it, and Jesus is speaking, the word is truth. The word is truth. The word is truth. People, so many people in life think about, well, what is truth? We're being told over and over again, God's word is the truth. The word is truth. The word is truth. The word is truth. 1 Peter 1:24. Through the word of God, which lives and abides in us having been born again, not of corruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's word lives. That's important to see. God's word lives. It's living. It's alive. And you see, when we receive it, like he was talking about, it becomes alive in your life. And that's where the purification of your soul begins, is when the word is living and active in your life. That's You know, you can memorize scripture all day long, and you can memorize the whole book and still not have it living and active in your life, because all you've done is just gotten knowledge and memorized something. You see, that's why it's so important to receive the word, not just hear the word. The word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Your hearing is only activated when the word is moving in your life. It's active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even to the point of bone and marrow, separating even bone and marrow. That's deep. That's as deep as it gets. Verse 24. Well, I want to back up 23. Through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Abides forever. God's word abides forever. It's that, that imperishable seed. What does imperishable mean? It never perishes. It can't perish. God's word abides forever. And it will beyond us, beyond this church, beyond this earth. His word will abide forever. And verse 24 now, because all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. Our good neighbors down the street have an alarm that they set off about this time every morning so they can, on Sunday, and run their whistles. So I'm going to give them a minute. I want you to focus on this. I know. Listen there. He says, the word abides forever because all flesh is grass. All the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. And the grass withers and its flower falls away. All flesh is grass. You know where that's from? That's Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 6 and 7. The voice said, cry out. And he said, cry, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Flesh. We're made of flesh. We live in the flesh. All flesh is grass. And all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. Can you identify with that? Some of you say, yeah, my body's fading away fast. Because, listen to this, the grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. That's His Spirit. The breath of the Lord blows upon it, and surely the people are grass. We're just like grass. The word of the Lord endures forever, and it lasts forever. We don't. That's an analogy of like our life. The Lord blows upon it, and surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You see, God is so powerful. He could just breathe on me and I could die if that was what He wanted. He would just, and I'm done. And we're all like that. We're all like that. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Think about the word endures. Endures, stands, remains through anything and everything. So why is it important to receive the word? Because when you receive the word into your spirit, it'll stand. It'll help you stand. It will endure the things that you have to endure through the flesh. But the word will remain and stand and endure and help you to endure through all those things. And the Lord knows there are many. Many of you have experienced and are experiencing life. but the word stands forever.
Right.
Verse 25 in 1 Peter, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. And the word there is, Peter's right there, is referring to the spoken word. The spoken word. It endures forever. When this truth is spoken, it doesn't just go out and fade into oblivion. It remains. That's why the word says, the word never returns void, but accomplishes what it was sent to do. It's like the rain that comes down and waters the grass and waters the earth. The word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. This is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. If you've been here more than a couple of times, or at least a couple of times, this is, you have experienced this. The word of the gospel has been preached to you.
Amen.
And so there's no reason to say, I didn't know, or, I didn't know, I didn't hear. Because you have heard. And you'll continue to hear. Because the word endures forever. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Laying aside all those things. Now, you might say, well, who's he talking to there, Pastor? Well, this book was written to the church. And so, the church is not this building. The church is these people. It's made up of these people, all of us. And so this is speaking to us. He's telling you, and he's telling me, to lay aside all malice. That's ill will. I mean, there's a lot of analogies you could use for the word malice. Ill intent. You could tie anger, bitterness, strife, anything to that. Lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy. Gosh, I wish I could do what they do. I wish I could do what she does. I wish I had what they have. All envy and all evil speaking. Oh, Pastor, we don't speak evil. Not in the church. You pray about that. I have to. So he says, lay all that aside. Put it aside. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. So, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, now I've heard a lot of different theology on that, but I believe that we are being viewed from heaven by a great cloud of witnesses. And he said, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles or ensnares us. Well, what is that? Well, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. And that's just a little short list of those things that so easily entangle us. You know, one of the things that entangles is the easiest thing to entangle us. You know what it is? Gossip. Gossip. How's that so? Because it happens so easily. So easily. It's easily spoken. and it's easily received. It's a two-way street, and it entangles. It does easily entangle us. But he says, let us lay aside every weight. What weighs you down? What is it that, what weight do you carry that God doesn't want you to carry? The sin which so easily ensnares. What is it? What is that sin that just seems to just grab you so easily? You know, it could be what comes out of your mouth, what goes through your mind. It could be all sorts of things that easily ensnares, traps, catches you. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Run with endurance. Not walk. Not crawl. Run. Run the race that's set before you. You run your race, not her race. You run your race, not his race. Run the race that's set before you. God has given you a race to run, and you run it with endurance. And that endurance comes from him. That endurance comes from the word, the truth that's infused in your life. When it's infused in your life, it gives you endurance. And I know many of you need that endurance to run it, because life can get hard. In verse 2, he says, put aside all this malice and evil speaking and all this stuff, and as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The pure milk of the word. Pure milk. Pure milk. Not watered down. Not diluted, but pure. The pure milk of the word. You know, you can, if I were to put pure milk in here, you wouldn't be able to see through this. It would be pure white. Pure milk is pure white. And there's different variations. You know, I drink coconut milk and water. It's what's in it. It's just pure coconut milk and water. But it's not pure milk. It's got water in it. And you see, he says, as newborn babes, just like that newborn baby loves that milk, pure milk, that's how we're supposed to desire the word, as pure milk. Just like a newborn baby wants that pure milk from its mom. We're to desire that pure milk from God, from his word, because his word is pure milk. It's pure milk. Matthew 18:3. And said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as what? Become as what? Little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. Now, what does he mean by that? And first of all, unless you're converted, unless you are born again and become as little children. In other words, believe God's truth. Believe God's word. You will no by means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to be converted. You have to be converted. Just like you tell your child something and they believe you. They believe you because you're mom or your dad. And when you tell them something, they believe you when they're a little child. Now, when they're a teenager, they look at you like you got four eyes. Or they tell you what you don't know. Right, ladies? But you got to become as little children. He says, that's when you're converted, you become as little children. And you say, God, I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word. I don't doubt it. Mark 10, 15. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. You got to have the faith of a child, just like your little child believes everything you tell. You got to have faith as a little child toward God. You have to believe Him, and you have to receive Him like a little child receives that pure milk. Luke 18, 17. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. The same faith the little child has in mom or dad is the same faith God wants you to have in God. That's what He wants you to have in God the Father through Jesus Christ. Faith is a little child. We talked about this a few weeks back. God, you said it. I believe it. God, you said it right there. I can show you, Lord, you said it right there. And I believe it. And I believe it. Let's pray. Peter is telling us today that we are to purify our souls with God's word, with the truth, which is God's word. Purify our souls, purify our minds, purify our will so that our will be submitted to His will and our will have His motives, not our motives. And purify our emotions. Let our emotions be based on the truth, not on what we see or hear or somebody speaks or what we feel. Emotions are real, but emotions deceive us. Emotions cause us to make wrong decisions. And so, if you're not using the word to purify your soul, you're struggling. You're struggling. You're struggling either in your mind, you're struggling with your will against God's will, or you're struggling with emotions. Well, I feel like this. I know that, but I feel this. And that's why Peter's telling us to purify our souls with the truth, the Word of God. Because it'll eliminate a lot of the things that we struggle with internally, emotionally, spiritually, even physically. God's word, the truth of the word, is the cleansing, sanctifying, purifying vessel of God. It's His word that He gave. It's through His word we are saved. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you receive Jesus, the Word, into your spirit, into your heart, you receive Him by faith. That process of purifying your soul begins. And it continues as long as you're taking in His Word. God, help us to absorb the cleansing word to receive your word, not just to hear your word, but to receive your word in our spirit, so that our hearts and our minds, our souls will be changed by your word and the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope the Lord has spoken to you today. And I hope that something has started, or something has clicked, or something has intensified, so that that process of cleansing the soul is accelerated.